Well, again, happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm glad that you're here on this occasion. Right here at St. Patrick's, which was the first Anglican Episcopal church in the Western Hemisphere named after St. Patrick. Whew, I think that should be a celebration every year. Something that we should remember and think about and bring about in our lives. When it was first named back in 1911, it was told to the St. Patrick's Cathedral in Dublin, Ireland, which is a Church of Ireland church. It's an Anglican church as well, and they gifted St. Patrick's with some stones, some ancient stones from their cathedral. The cathedral was built in the 12th century, so it had some history behind it. And these stones were shipped over here and were gathered here in 1919. And they were formed into our baptismal font that has been a part of the life of this place ever since. As people have gathered here and brought children to be baptized, they've been baptized in that very font. And it has continued that tradition and connected us with our friends across the ocean. This is the baptismal font that's in our entryway. So as you come into this place, you see this thing that is so important to who we are, because we gather around it. And we have been family around it. We have become who we are around this very important piece of our sacred life here at St. Patrick's. Now, I tell you this because here at St. Patrick's, we have a couple of other traditions that we celebrate here on St. Patrick's Day. If you look behind you, you will notice that the room out there is gathered, and it is set up for a great luncheon. We're going to have some stew. We're going to have some shepherd's pie. We have some amazingly sweet brownies and ice cream and other things. There will be other very joy-filled sides. This will be a great potluck luncheon that we're going to be having here at St. Patrick's, and it is one of our traditions to do that. We also, if you look carefully, will be having some bingo being played. I was asked earlier this week, why bingo? I do not know the answer to that question. I have been here for 9 years, and bingo has always been. It is one of the traditions of St. Patrick's. But there are many other traditions that have taken place here. It used to be that on St. Patrick's Day was, no matter what day of the week it was, the annual parish meeting of St. Patrick's would take place. And so it would be an evening gathering around tables, and people would, after they shared this meal, they would have skits, and they'd do various other song and dance routines. And in some place in there, they elected the leaders that would take on the life of St. Patrick's going for the year going forward. I'm not exactly sure how that played out, but that was a tradition of St. Patrick's. So traditions do change, but one of the qualities of St. Patrick's Parish, the first in the Western Hemisphere, is that we gather. We gather in these places, and we support each other in our lives together. How do we continue to do that to make our lives more full, to share the love that we have for each other across the boundaries that exist between us? That is the essential piece of what St. Patrick's is all about, in my estimation. It's also what Paul was talking about when he was writing to the Thessalonians. He was not there with them at the time, but he had started this church, and he said the essential quality of who you are is that you gather together and you love each other. You give yourself to each other. And Paul said, I didn't do this because I wanted to put it on my resume, or I needed praise, or I needed some extra money. Paul said he was doing this because he loved them. He would give himself for them. He would care for them. And he said, if you do the same, it will be amazing. It will change who you are. I think our patron Saint Patrick knew that quality as well. If you know his story, you know that he was born in Britain, maybe Wales. It's unsure exactly where he was born. And when he was 16, he was captured and sold into slavery, which got him to Ireland. He was forced to work as a shepherd, and he did that for 5 years. He didn't like it. People who are slaves, who are in bondage, don't like it because they don't have freedom. Now, it came about that Patrick had an opportunity to escape. I don't know exactly what happened. Maybe somebody wasn't watching. And he left his shepherd job and traveled overland to a coastline, was able to get passage back to Britain, where he truly found his call. He studied with the monks. He learned about Christianity, the official religion of the Roman Empire. And he was ordained a priest and later a bishop. It seemed like Patrick had his life in order at that point. He had things the way he wanted them. He had found calm waters of life. We would not know Patrick today if that was his life. If he had been ordained a priest and a bishop and was living in Britain, we would have forgotten him. But our church is named after him. And it's because he, in his early 40s, some 20 years after he escaped slavery, he had a vision. And in this vision, God told him that he should be leaving his prestige job and going back to the place that he had once been a slave. And he should be a missionary there, telling them, teaching them, being with them, loving them. And Patrick put his things aside and went there. He went to Ireland against all the odds against him, the risks, the pain, and the hatred. And he let that all go, and he loved. It's said that the entire country accepted the teachings of Patrick over the next 30 years. They came to know what was truly important about their lives. They found out that Patrick had a way of teaching that made things seem so simple that everybody could understand and they could come to know. Patrick had a gift, not only in the way he spoke, but just the way he was. And it inspired an entire country. That example is important for us as well, as we think about how we connect with our patron saint. Patrick was known for taking some risks. He took a risk when he escaped from slavery. He took a risk when he returned back to Ireland after experiencing this vision from God. And in each case, the risk opened up freedom for him. There's a quote I want to share with you. It's famous, even though I don't know who said it. It is this: to laugh is to risk appearing a fool. To weep is to risk appearing sentimental. To reach out to others is to risk involvement. To expose your feelings is to risk exposing your true self. To dream is to risk loss. To love is to risk not being loved in return. To live is to risk dying. To hope is to risk despair. To try is to risk failure. But risks we must take risks, because the greatest hazard in life is to risk nothing. The person who risks nothing does nothing, has nothing, is nothing. One may, for the moment, avoid suffering and sorrow, but he or she will not learn or love or change or grow. Only the person who risks is totally free. I think this quote would really resonate with Patrick. He was someone who took some risks, and those risks changed not only his life, but the lives of everybody that he encountered along his path. It's why we are named St. Patrick's. So I hope that we can take that same spirit of risk, of doing things that are challenging, to laugh and to weep and to reach out to others and to expose our feelings and to dream and to love, to live, to hope, and to try. That is our work. That is what we're called to do as we take on the example of St. Patrick in our lives, to make a difference in the world in which we live, to gather together, to make all of our lives more full. So on this day, I call you to think about Patrick and his example, and then to go out and do likewise.